In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord Jesus Christ, on this afternoon that commemorates your passion and death, with devotion and thanksgiving, with prayer and recollection, we make this journey with you. Send your Holy Spirit upon us, that we may pray fervently and that we may pray well. May we remember the events of your passion and then be able to see your glorious resurrection in its light. Each one of us, O Christ, walks our own sorrowful way. Each one of us comes this afternoon with an awareness of our own weakness and pain, of our own sorrows and failure, of injustice that has happened to us and that sadly we have caused to others. Send us your Holy Spirit, O Jesus Christ, our Savior, that not only this afternoon, but on each day of our pilgrim way, we may walk the Via Dolorosa with you. Open our hearts and minds with contrition and thanksgiving, that we may walk with you and be grateful to walk with you on your journey, that we may not be spectators at our own salvation, but that you may lead us and guide us. We pray to you, O Christ our Lord. Amen. The first station. Jesus is condemned to death. We adore thee, O Christ, and we praise thee. God, by thy holy cross, thou hast redeemed the world. In this first station, our Lord Jesus Christ takes upon himself part of the common burden of mankind, which is injustice. With dignity, almost with silence, with an acceptance of God's will, but with no approval of injustice, with a willingness to suffer, but a word of rebuke, of warning to one who uses his powers unjustly, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who could have taken and called 12 legions of angels, takes up the cross of mankind. You and I have not suffered injustice as many people in the world have done and are doing. We have not been killed by unjust tyrants. Most of us cannot say that we labor and suffer under a heavy burden of injustice. But every one of us, in our relationships with others, in all the misunderstandings that happen in a family, in the forces that economics and life bring to bear in the lives of every individual, we all know something of the bitterness of injustice. We all say sometimes, why me? Why did it happen to me? I didn't deserve that. And sometimes it can be something quite terrifying. One may be mugged. Who in our city is not stolen from? Who at times has not been unappreciated in work, in what we've tried to do well? Who here has not been betrayed by the failure of a friend or someone we have loved? Injustice. And at this first station, we see our Lord Jesus Christ with great dignity, stand before a representative of the world government, of the Roman Empire, and quietly remind that man that Christ's kingdom is not of this world. A person can accept injustice in a sick and neurotic way, and they'll never really accept it. It will gall and burn them down in the depths of their being. That's not what Christ does. Rather, he takes up his cross. Let us join him in taking up his cross. O Lord Jesus Christ, give us the grace to speak and to be silent in the face of the injustices which come into our own personal lives. Let us not be silent out of weakness and fear, but let us follow you with dignity and with courage. Amen. The second station. The second station, Jesus Christ takes up his cross. We adore you, Lord Jesus Christ, and praise you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. As Jesus takes up his cross, he reminds every one of us of our destiny in life. I don't know you all. We've never met, some of us. But I know this about you, that you have a cross. And Good Friday is the day of crosses. Everyone comes here with some cross that bothers them right now, and with the memory of many crosses in the past. And if you're like me, at times you have wanted to complain to God, to say, why? Why this cross, which is so heavy? Why not some other cross? Jesus takes up his cross. A few years ago, someone very dear to me faced the unspeakably heavy cross of the murder by a prowler of her only child. What do you say to someone like that? There was nothing to say. Unseen, unexpected, like a bolt of lightning, this terror came into her life. And she said to me, I read in a book once that if we could see all of the crosses of the world piled up, we'd take the one we already have. She said, I don't want this cross. I would rather be dead. But since I have been given it, I will carry it. Maybe you felt that way. I know I have. Oh Lord, any cross but that one. Today we meditate on the Via Dolorosa because Jesus takes up his cross. Oh Lord, by your example of humility, give us the courage, each one, to carry our cross. Not to complain, not to run away from it, not to pretend, but to carry it. Deliver us from all kind of bargaining with you that we will have some other cross. And if we are bitter because of the one we have, give us your example and your strength. Help us, O Lord, as Simon helped you. Help us to carry our cross. The third station, Jesus falls the first time. We adore thee, O Christ, and we praise thee. On thy holy cross thou hast redeemed. When you consider this station, that the Son of God, the all-powerful one, the mighty and strong one, could fall beneath the cross, how consoling it is. Because everyone in this church has fallen many times beneath the cross. Jesus falls because his strength is tried to its utmost limits. His human physical body collapses and is not as strong as his divine resolution and strength. He falls. Sometimes we fall because we come to an end of our strength, and sometimes we fall for other reasons, because of temptation, because of cupidity, because of sensuality, because of weakness. And although he falls out of strength and we fall out of weakness, we both fall. It is the humility and mercy and love of God that we have this startling example of a God who falls in the street. On Good Friday, think of your falls. Think of them carefully and think of them well. Because often we learn more from them than we learn from our strength and our ability to carry the cross. Not so long ago, I talked to a priest who had fallen and fallen badly. And he was on his way up again by sincere repentance, by struggle, by honesty. I felt so sorry for him because he was ashamed. But he said to me, "I thank God that I fell. I wasn't praying enough. I wasn't sincere enough. It's better that I fell. And now I know that I must turn to God and rely completely on him." O Lord Jesus Christ, fallen beneath the cross, teach us by this powerful example. Teach us your humility and break our pride that always wants to walk on. If we try to avoid doing your will, if we try to lead our lives without following your law, then we will live on the illusion that we do not fall. Deliver us from that terrible illusion. And if you must allow us to fall, to learn to rely on you and to struggle on, then give us the grace, O Christ, by your humble fall into the street of Jerusalem, give us the grace to rise again and not to live our lives in fear of falling, but rather to fear that we shall give up struggling at all. O fallen God, break our hearts that we may not be afraid to struggle on. The fourth station. Jesus meets his afflicted mother. "We adore thee, O glorious, and we praise thee, because by thy holy cross thou hast redeemed the world." If you try to be a Christian and to follow Christ on his journey, then you're going to have to hurt sometimes those who are dear to you. The world is a messy place. It doesn't all fit together. And the illusion that religious people sometimes live on, that if they say their prayers and go to church, and follow the commandments, that everything will fit beautifully together, that illusion is smashed by the fourth station. Because in this station, two people who absolutely pursued the divine will without ever swerving and without any exception find themselves in a profound conflict of human love, of affection, of tenderness, and of duty. Christ many times had brought pain to those who loved him. And he had brought pain more to his mother than to anyone else. Your father and I sought you sorrowing. Your mother and your brethren are outside waiting for you. My mother and my brethren are they who do the will of God. Shortly she would hear the words, "Woman, behold thy son." It must be, it absolutely must be, that if you would walk the road with Christ, sometimes your affections and your desires, the very best of desires, are going to come into conflict with what you must do according to the will of God. And don't shrink from that trial. Many, many times in the lives of people, that conflict is there. I think of parents of a young son who had a brain tumor. They were appalled, horrified. People of faith, they prayed, but they prayed with that desperate faith that any loving person would have at such a time. And their son, only 14 years old, said, "If I'm going to die, then I'm going to spend the last weeks of my life praying for and speaking to my high school chums, because they're all in trouble. They're going in the wrong direction. They're taking drugs. They're wasting their lives." And this boy, dying, became an apostle, not only of good to his friends, but an apostle of loving trust to his parents. And he died. And they stood at the fourth station. You have been there. You will be there again. O Lord Jesus Christ, as we contemplate the sorrow of your mother, we remember that you also have a human heart. We try to plunge into the grief that is in your heart. We can make it our own because sometimes we have felt that grief too. In your mother's heart were the words, "My love is crucified. My beloved son is crucified." O Lord Jesus Christ, give us your grace and strength in the course of our lives when we also must say, "My love is crucified." Amen. The fifth station, Simon helps Jesus carry his cross. We adore thee, O Christ, and we praise thee, because by thy holy cross thou hast redeemed the world. There are moments in life, I'm sure you've had them, when things are so bitter that you don't even want any help. When those who would come to comfort us are sent away. When we turn in on ourselves and we say, "I'd rather suffer all alone. I'd rather be at pain all alone. Don't come near me." And frequently we say this to those who are most dear to us. And we hurt them. because they would like to help us carry our cross. Not so with Jesus Christ. Perhaps an unwilling man, constrained by the Roman soldiers, carries his cross. And in his complete humility, the all-powerful Son of God lets someone help omnipotence. He does not dismiss Simon. He does not chase him away, but rather humbly and gently, he allows him, this unknown man, perhaps an unwilling man, to help him. Brothers and sisters, we would do better in our lives if we let others help us. We would become more generous and more open. We would recognize that we need others' help. We would humbly ask for it and graciously be thankful for it. And sometimes we learn that what good we have done indeed has been purchased by the prayers of others. The great German bishop von Ketteler, going around Germany, assisting German Catholics at the time of persecution, in his dream used to see the face of a young woman in the robes of a nun. He was helping out at a convent one day when suddenly that face was in front of him. Later, when he met the whole community, the face was not there. But on inquiry, he discovered that one sister was missing, the sister who had the humble task of taking care of the cow. And out he went. When he saw the face, he knew that all that he accomplished, all that he did, all that he was inspired to do, had been earned by the humble face of the lonely nun who cleaned the barn. It is a great part of spiritual growth to know about the help of others, to welcome it, to be grateful for it, to graciously accept it, and to sometimes pay it back by being a help to others. O Lord Jesus Christ, who humbly helps, accepts the help of another. O omnipotence, who grows tired. O mighty and strong one, who is relieved by another's labor. Give me the grace, O Lord, to recognize when you come to help me in others, and give me the graciousness to accept and to ask for that help. The sixth station. Veronica wipes the face of Jesus. We adore you, O Lord Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. The Son of God, the true and eternal loveliness itself, does not shrink from being ugly, from being the despised and poor servant that the prophets speak of. We thought of him as one rejected, as a leper. But Veronica is able to see the beauty of his face. My brothers and sisters, it would not be Good Friday if we did not pause to ask ourselves, when the face of Jesus Christ, hidden by ugliness, hidden under a mantle of shame and sorrow, of sickness and loneliness, of confusion and mental problems. It would not be Good Friday if I did not ask you, when you see that face. If for no other reason we need Good Friday every year, we need it to remind us that the face of Jesus Christ looks out at us from many faces, and that his hidden face is to be seen many times in the street. The best of Christians can become insensitive to that face. There's always the question, is it the face of Christ or is it the face of a thief? Is it God asking me for something or is it somebody who's a charlatan? Take my advice. Don't be afraid to be cheated. You're going to be cheated sometimes if you look for the face of Christ. Don't be a fool. But you can be a fool in either direction. Last evening, by that church door, an old woman asked me for a dollar. I had only to look at her to know that she had many troubles. And I think probably any old woman who has to go around asking you for a dollar has plenty of troubles already. Another very good Christian, a very prayerful person, said to me, Father, you shouldn't do that. You might be being cheated. Of course. But consider the consequences if I'm not being cheated. I'd rather err in the wrong direction. I don't give away my own money. I don't have any. I give away other people's money, so I have to be careful. I don't have any of my own. And I don't like to give other people's money away and throw it after foolish causes, but if you've ever given me some money to give to the poor, know that a certain percentage of it has been taken by thieves and mountebanks. A certain percentage, probably 10-12%. I've been lied to, cheated, sold a bill of goods many times. But sometimes behind that face I looked at was another face. Sometimes looking at me through those strange and often distorted eyes, looking at me through confused vision, through sickness of many decades, in that utterly unrecognizable face, looking at me from those bloodshot eyes, with the eyes of the Son of God. O Christ our Lord, break our hearts by your holy face, and look at us when you are ugly and disfigured and alone and frightened and crazy. Look at us, O Christ, and break our hearts in half, and grant that we may never pass you by. Amen. The seventh station, Jesus falls the second time. We adore thee, O Christ, and we praise thee, because by thy holy cross thou hast redeemed the world. Jesus Christ is now becoming physically desperate. In terrible ways, the reality of his death is coming closer to him and to his disciples. He is at the end of his strength. Athletes call it hitting the wall. You've gone beyond all available energy, and life begins to ebb away from complete destruction. You can't even think. You can only go on. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, takes this desperation upon him. He is sick. He is dying.
Everyone here has been desperate. I need no story of desperation, because we all know what it is. Sometime, now and then in our lives, every one of us has felt that we simply could not go on. This station reminds us that the Son of God has also been there. O Lord Jesus Christ, in your desperate agony, you fall in the streets of Jerusalem. I remember pausing, O Lord, in the street of the Via Dolorosa by the seventh station. I looked down in the gutter and there was a broken bottle, a potato chip wrapper, dirt and filth. In exhaustion, you who were spotless purity itself, you who did not think it being equal to God something to be clung to, you fell in that street. O Lord, I may not be desperate now, but I will be desperate again. By the power of this station, by the power that you won for us, when you fell between the cross, give me the grace to go on. The eighth station. Jesus speaks to the weeping women of Jerusalem. We adore thee, O Christ, and we praise thee, because by thy holy cross thou hast redeemed the world. Jesus is patient. At this time in anyone's life, with energy at its lowest ebb, with death before him and confusion reigning about his ears, screams and catcalls all over him, a huddled small group of people appear along the way. They must have been very frightened, confused. An execution was never a pleasant thing. They did not know about him what you and I know about him. They knew that he was a prophet, that he had worked signs. They did not know that he would rise from the dead. They hadn't the slightest idea that 2,000 years later, in a world that then did not exist, that we would sit in a city the likes of which they never imagined, and we would recall their weeping. And he pauses to speak to them and console them. If you're like me, there are many times in your life that you have no desire at all to stop and speak to someone. You've had it. And as you get older, you may notice, as I notice, that it is much easier to run out of strength, to become confused, to become tired, that the din of life is quite beyond you. It is then that we must think of this station. Brother Leo, the vice postulator of the cause of Father Solanus, Casey, the servant of God, tells of an evening when Father Solanus was quite ill with a cold. It was about 9 o'clock at night in the monastery in Detroit, and brother said to him, "Father, there's no one else here. Why don't you go up the stairs to bed a little early? Have something hot. Maybe that cold will be a little better." And as father was going through the doors to the cloister, the monastery door opened and a couple was there and they shouted to him, "Father Solanus, come back." He stayed with them till 10:30 and they left obviously relieved. Brother Leo said, "It's too bad that they caught you." You really needed your sleep. And this holy man turned to him and said, you know, when Jesus was about to fall the third time, he paused to speak to the women of Jerusalem. It will be a long time, if ever, before I have such charity. But at least you and I can stop and pray for the grace which Christ won at this station. O gentle Master, O patient God, O humble Messiah, teach us, O Christ, by your gentle kindness, to put aside our own pique, our own aggravation, our own needs. Teach us to put aside all of the things that we want and cling to, and especially our own comfort. And give us the strength by this eighth station to stop and to console you when we see you hidden along the way of life. Amen. Jesus falls the third time beneath the cross. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you. Tell us by your holy cross. Beyond desperation, Jesus Christ comes to the end. On the Via Dolorosa, this station is at the entrance to the Church of Calvary, called the Church of the Sepulchre. Everything comes down upon him. It is the end. It is almost surprising that he did not die there, having been beaten, kicked, having had a night of torture, and having been dragged through the streets. Not so long ago, I spoke to a young woman. She had come to the end of her life. She was on the edge of death, and she has now passed over it. Death itself can be beautiful, a gentle sleep. But the days and the hours before death can bring a person to the end. This young woman had received special graces as she came to the end of her short life. And she believed. She was desperate with pain. She was at an end. But she clutched my hand and she said, I believe. O Lord Jesus Christ, when we come to an end, give us the grace to believe. When we are beyond any human hope, when all that our dear ones or loved ones can possibly do is nothing at all but a sad memory of a life that is gone, when we come to an end, O Christ, give us that grace which you had at the ninth station as we prepare for the Calvary that must come to each and every one of us. Amen. The tenth station. Jesus is stripped of his garments. We adore thee, O Christ, and we praise thee, because by thy holy cross thou hast redeemed the world. To me, this is the station of sickness. Physical sickness, emotional sickness, psychological sickness. The great indignity that comes to each one of us when life, physically or psychologically or emotionally, is beyond us. Beyond the pain is the indignity, the embarrassment. that we are not able to make it. Probably physical illness is the easiest of the three. Emotional confusion and disturbance is worse, and mental illness the worst of all. But do we stop when we see others ill, physically, emotionally, or mentally? Do we stop? Or do we turn away our head because we are embarrassed by the humility of the Savior of the world? We don't want to see him in that disguise. We are ashamed. This station reminds us to smash our pride, to rip it up, because it is the worst possible enemy of our salvation. In fact, it may be ultimately the only enemy of our salvation. All the other enemies may simply be foot soldiers in the legion of pride. And pride comes in many disguises. It makes us not want to look at the humility of God. And yet if we pause, if we are not afraid of indignity, in all kinds of illness, there can be a strange, haunting reminder of the beauty of God. The physically ill person can remind us of Jesus crucified. The emotionally disturbed person reminds us of Jesus in the agony in the garden. And the mentally ill person, they may tell us the truth, and that's why we run away from them. They may, because of their very illness, say what everyone else is afraid to say. In many cultures, they are considered, especially the messengers of God. But we are afraid to listen because we are ashamed. I stood at the bedside of one of my dear confreres, Father Peter Damien. He looked like a skeleton. He was only a year older than I am, and this was a few years ago. I was up in Sloan Kettering, and the tears came to my eyes in spite of myself, and he said, "Benedict, don't cry, because I have discovered such things in prayer that I never dreamed of." There is a strange and awful, a frightening beauty in the tenth station when there is exposed to the world the humility of God. O Lord Jesus Christ, give us the grace to see you wherever you are, never to turn away, never to mock, never to laugh, never to hide in our defenses. Give us the grace and break our hearts that we may see your tenth station wherever we go. Amen. The 11th station, Jesus is nailed to the cross. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you. This station showing the Son of God unable to move, fastened by nails of pain, to me is the station of old age. Old age awaits everyone who escapes death. And in our society, unfortunately, we do not hold the old in respect and veneration as they are held in many societies which we call less Christian than our own. In this station, let us meditate on old age. If you are there, to bear it patiently and to bear the fear that it will get worse with courage. And if you are young, to remember that Jesus Christ knew the infirmity of being nailed to a cross. O Lord Jesus Christ, by this station give me the grace to recognize you in thy greatest of ills, the illness of life itself. Help me to respect you in the old. Help me that I will know that by helping them, I help you. And if I should live to be old, O Savior, give me the grace to accept that cross as a joy and a blessing in preparation for your kingdom. Amen. And the 12th station. Jesus Christ dies on the cross. We adore thee, O Christ, and we praise thee. Let us kneel for this station. Hail, O cross, our only hope. I once heard the words, my love is crucified, amor meus crucifixus est. And so it is with every human being. What we desire, what we love, what we cherish, what we seek for, what we work long to build up, it all dies, sooner or later, on its cross. And we ourselves, sooner or later, we come to our own Calvary. Do not be bitter, because God has gone before you. Do not rail at life. Do not be angry at God, because in this fallen and sad and mysteriously unhappy world, where beauty and ugliness, joy and sorrow, life and death come together so strangely, into this world has come the Son of God to bear our lot. O Jesus Christ, upon the cross, give me the grace. Break my heart open and fill it with the grace that I may lead my life as one sealed with the cross of baptism, as marked with the cross of repentance, and as filled with hope because of the divine love that was shown to me on the cross. O Christ, engrave your cross deeply into my heart. Amen. We adore thee, O Christ, and we praise thee. Jesus is taken down from the cross. O Christ, in this station, this station of bitterness, of confusion for the apostles, of the darkest sorrow for Mary, for you are gone. In this station, I would like to remember all of those who have strayed afar away from you. My brothers and sisters, every one of us in this church prays for someone, perhaps for many, who are dead to God, whose lives have become spiritually a dead body, where God appears to have departed. Desolation and loneliness, spiritual fear and anxiety fill the heart of each one of us as we think of someone dear to us, or many dear to us, who have no faith, no hope. Let us remember them at this station. And let us believe that as the dead body of Christ would come back from the dead, so also a lost faith may rise again. O Lord Jesus Christ, I commend to you in this station all of those who have run away from you, who have strayed from you, who know you not, whose hearts are dead to you. Come, O gentle Savior, in your own way and by the power of your Holy Spirit, come into their dead soul and bring them to life again. And give us, as we pray, in our darkness, some of the hope that filled the heart of Mary as she stood at the base of the cross. And the 14th station. Jesus is laid in the tomb. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy Spirit. The tomb, a sign of grief. And they closed the tomb and they all went away. The tomb. What one of us has not known the sorrow of the tomb? What one of us has not buried those whom we loved the most? What one of us has not walked away with the other funeral guests, leaving our heart buried in the ground? The tomb. Many of you have died several times in the course of life. And so have I. The tomb. But this tomb is different. It shall be broken open. This tomb would become the sign of hope and expectation of all the world. This tomb would be the empty tomb, the victory over the grave. It could only be approached with agony and sorrow and death. But it would be the tomb that would give hope of everlasting life. O Lord Jesus Christ, as we prayerfully conclude this journey, we conclude it on the message of hope. And while we lament your passion and suffering, our tears are abated, and our grief is overcome, not only for you, but for all of the sorrows in our own life, because you, O Lord Jesus Christ, would break open the tomb, and the 14th station would someday be known as the empty sepulcher, as the empty tomb. We thank you, O Lord, and we ask you to keep always before our eyes the promise of the resurrection. Amen.